Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. One of the funnest things that I have done since identifying working with introverts as my niche for my coaching business is to partner up with a gentleman in the area named Leif Hansen, who has his own company, Spark Interaction. And together we do workshops called Improv for Introverts. And a recent announcement for this Improv for Introverts workshop, one of the participants who submitted her RSVP shared on the comments section of the page that she was an introvert, but she still wanted to attend. I replied jokingly that while introverts were welcome, it was possible that at least one who was in attendance might end up switching teams. And I don't know if she knew it, but I certainly didn't know it, that she would end up being that person who switched teams. When we introduced ourselves in the beginning of the workshop, she shared with us that she was an INFP, which is an introvert according to the Myers-Briggs temperament assessment. And during the course of the workshop, as we talked about being an introvert and did the exercises, she realized that she had not been comfortable openly claiming that she was an introvert. Even though she had that information and had done the Myers-Briggs, she still felt like she wanted to project the extrovert personality to the world. And it makes sense when I think about it, because she's the leader of a growing business based on social networking, and she's a public speaker, and she is a connector of people. So how could she be an introvert? This got me thinking that she is probably in good company with many other introverts. We often think that it's something that we can ignore or set aside or succeed in spite of or even change about ourselves. And even for me, even though I now focus on introverts and I talk about really owning and stepping into your power as an introvert, there was a point in my business when I was feeling particularly frustrated by my lack of energy, my lack of desire to get out and network like everybody was telling me that I needed to. And I remember one day I was driving to an event and I said to myself, I know, I'll pretend I'm an extrovert. And for that moment, I had made the classic mistake of associating being an extrovert with being social and outgoing and the life of the party and all of that, and associating being introverted with being shy and not wanting to be at those kinds of occasions. So what all of this points to is that we're generally told by others, directly or indirectly, who don't understand what it means to be an introvert, we're told that it's not okay, or it's not safe to be who we are, so we think we have to pretend to be something else. We're told, again, directly or indirectly, that it's not okay to get energy by yourself. It's not okay to think a lot, and that there are all sorts of things that we should be doing, like we should be socializing more, we should have lots of friends, we should go to a ton of networking events, and that those things should be done in a certain way, even if they don't work for us, even if they make us miserable. The other thing that happens in all of this with people who don't understand introverts, and I would say there are even introverts who don't understand because they have been living by the misconception that introvert equals shy, this can lead to our strengths getting turned around and reframed as weaknesses. So here I'm going to share a few strengths and how those sometimes get turned around by ourselves, by others, by society in general. We are internal processors. And that can be reframed by others who don't understand that as we're slow thinkers, or we're not as sharp or quick as other people. And you might have heard the people say to you, you think too much. And I know that I've had that said to me. I've said it to myself. We can get into mental tail chasing. And so this tendency and preference to process internally can be turned around to, you think too much. We have a tendency to listen more than we talk. And that can come across to others as a weakness of being too quiet and not sociable. We have a preference for solitude, and we have a special ability to be alone for longer periods of time than most people. That gets translated as, you're a loner, you're not sociable, you might be weird, and you don't like people. We have an ability to focus and to go deep. Other people might see that and call it obsessive. We have a desire for clear expectations. We want to know what to expect out of a situation. Other people might consider that controlling, or that you don't know how to have fun, or that you're not spontaneous. Along those lines, another strength of ours is that we love to be prepared. And so, just like the Boy Scouts, perhaps the introvert motto is be prepared. However, that can be turned around and be seen as a rather undesirable phrase of anal retentive. And that goes along also with our love of details. We also have fewer deep connections and friends. Our social circle is small and tight. That particular strength and preference can also be misinterpreted as being socially awkward or even unpopular, because the stereotypical popular people have lots of friends and love parties and love to go out, and the more the merrier. And so having fewer friends is perceived as being unpopular. What results in all of this is a tug of war that pits your introverted personality against the demands to behave in a certain extroverted way. Because the outer world has a powerful voice, and most human beings have a deep-seated need to be accepted and loved, we might push our introverted nature into the closet or into the dark. To use the word coined by Carl Jung, we regulate our introvert side to our shadow, along with other parts of ourselves that have been suppressed by ourselves and others. And while we might not like it at the time or even be aware that it's happening, that internal tug of war actually serves a very powerful purpose in your life. It was through a special kind of training that I realized many introverts were disowning this important part of themselves. And that act of disowning, whether conscious or unconscious, leads to disempowering choices that go against our natural strengths and tendencies and preferences and needs. There are literally different parts of you that are giving you information. And this isn't about multiple personalities or hearing voices, because that's a completely different ballgame. These parts are actually selves, and we have hundreds, if not thousands, of these selves bouncing around inside of us. And since the mind can't handle all of those voices talking at once, our psyche has separated them out so that we are in close contact with only a few at a time. So rather than feeling like you're on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange during trading hours and all of that kind of buzz and activity going on in your mind, our psyche separates things out so that we only hear a few. And the method for getting in touch with and listening to these selves is called voice dialogue. It was a method that was developed by psychologists Hal and Sidra Stone in the 1970s, and it continues to evolve and be practiced today by therapists and coaches alike. On their website, they offer a very simple definition of voice dialogue. It reads, "Voice dialogue is the basic method for contacting, learning about, and working with the many selves that make up each of us." In a typical voice dialogue session, a facilitator works with the client to bring out different selves for conversation. And just like all of this is an introduction to this concept, this definition and this explanation is a very simplistic and limited description of voice dialogue. So for more information, I recommend that you visit the websites of Hal and Sidra Stone, and that's S-I-D-R-A is Sidra, and the Voice Dialogue Institute, which is based here in the Pacific Northwest. So a key part of voice dialogue is that it's an opportunity to identify and give a voice to our primary and disowned selves. So let me explain a little bit about that. Our primary selves are the ones that come forward when someone asks you, how would you describe yourself? And you respond with words such as responsible, fun-loving, honest, trustworthy, nurturing. These traits each represent a primary self. They are how the world sees you and how you see yourself in the world. These selves emerge relatively early in life because they are the traits that were affirmed and encouraged by our parents, our teachers, and our friends. These selves also serve a very important function of keeping us safe from rejection or harm. They make sure that we're socially acceptable. And on the flip side, we have disowned selves that are the parts of you that are deemed socially unacceptable. These might be the selves who are adventurous, silly, shy, loud, creative, assertive, pessimistic, the drama queen, or the class clown. Those same influences that inform the traits that emerge as primary selves also inform what we disown through discouraging particular behaviors, expressions, or feelings. And that brings me to an insight that I had in the middle of the night a few months ago. And it was right after I had read a blog post on Psychology Today called How to Piss Off an Introvert. The author was Sophia Dumbling, and in this post, she highlighted several grievances that she has about how people respond to introverts. And one of my favorites, which I've personally experienced on several occasions, and I'm guessing you have too, is when someone learns that I'm an introvert and replies, usually with some sort of surprise or even dismay, "You're not an introvert." So this is what I began to realize was connected with voice dialogue. Because when someone says that, it's an obvious example of how the introverted part of introverts, because we are not 100% introvert, so there's an introverted part, is being rejected and disowned by other people. When someone says, "You're not an introvert," it's like they're saying, "Being an introvert is not okay. Don't put yourself down like that. You're not one of them." And in fact, they may think that they are paying you a compliment by saying you're not an introvert. And so since they disown and reject our introversion, we often disown it as well. The clear message that comes through is it's not safe or acceptable to be introverted. So we go against our nature and try to be extroverted in order to be more socially acceptable. And the truth is, it's natural and very acceptable to honor your introverted preferences. I have to wonder what would happen if introverts everywhere developed personal pride of ownership. And what if we were all secure enough to really own our introvert strengths and our unique and quiet energy? Part of being able to do that requires taking time to notice and appreciate the gifts our introversion gives us. Voice dialogue, completing an assessment, and coaching are several ways to shine the light on these hidden strengths. And experiences like voice dialogue give us an opportunity to integrate all of the different aspects of our personality in a healthy and productive way. For some of you, you may acknowledge that you're an introvert, but you disown it by trying to be more extroverted, which can be both exhausting and unhealthy. So the more you understand, own, and appreciate your introversion, the more you'll be able to step into who you truly are. And then statements like, "You're not an extrovert," can roll off of you like water off a duck's back. So if you're at that point and you're thinking, "Okay, so this sounds really interesting, but how do I begin?" What we're talking about here is a really complex and deep process that's best done with a trained facilitator, a coach, or a counselor. The information I'm offering you here in this podcast is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's meant to introduce you to the idea and to get you started with asking yourself some questions. With some intentional reflection, you can begin to see what powerful transformations might take place by really involving yourself in this process. So in that spirit, I want to offer you some simple questions to get the ball rolling. Spend time with these questions in a way that works best for you, whether that is writing in a journal or a notebook, talking with a partner or a close friend, or working with your coach. So here are some questions that I invite you to think about. To what extent do I own being an introvert? Do I have any judgments about being an introvert, whether I'm thinking of myself or others? Because often what we judge in others is a reflection of where we are insecure in judging of ourselves. Third question is, what do I notice myself holding back? What do I notice myself apologizing for? What do I notice myself trying to change? Fourth, do I frame my strengths as weaknesses? And lastly, what would happen if I honored my introverted preferences more? And what choices could I make to begin doing that right now? So I'm going to read those questions one more time. To what extent do I own being an introvert? Do I have any judgments about being an introvert of myself or others? What do I notice myself holding back or apologizing for or trying to change? Do I frame my strengths as weaknesses? And what would happen if I honored my introverted preferences more? What choices could I make right now to begin to do that? Depending on how much you've put your introverted needs and preferences on the back burner, you might reach some clarity through these questions. In addition, I've got some resources that I want to share with you that will provide you with more information. The first one is a book that actually prompted this podcast, along with some other things that I've been tossing around in my mind, and that is The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Reclaiming Your Power, Creativity, Brilliance, and Dreams. And this is by Debbie Ford, and it's a wonderful book that includes exercises as well as personal stories about stepping into your shadow. The second book is Embracing Your Inner Critic, and this is by Hal and Sidra Stone, the founders of Voice Dialogue. And the third is Owning Your Own Shadow by Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson is a union analyst and author who wrote some of the ones you might have heard of, He, She, We, and then a host of other works. There's another one called Inner Work, but Owning Your Own Shadow might specifically apply to what we've been talking about here today. And more information can be found by reading some selected works by Carl Jung and of other Jungian analysts. You can purchase The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Embracing Your Inner Critic, and other books through my Amazon affiliate page at bethbelow.com/inspiration/bookstore. If you're interested in experiencing voice dialogue for yourself, I'd be happy to talk with you. When you contact me, let me know that you learned about this through the Introvert Entrepreneur podcast. You'll receive a special 25% discount if we decide to work together. I can also recommend additional resources or facilitators who can support you on your journey. Even if you embrace your introvert strengths, it's not always easy to honor them when you encounter people who don't understand or respect your needs. I hope that as you come to recognize and appreciate how being an introvert is a gift, you will be able to be true to yourself, unapologetic, and empowered by your inner compass. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for spending this time with me and exploring the topic of the shadow and ourselves and how we can step more fully into the gift that introversion is for us. And I hope you'll join me each week for more insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. And if you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me on Facebook along with more than 1,200 other introverts at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.